You are Locked On Broncos, your daily podcast on the Denver Broncos, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
But this one's for Pat!
Oh yeah, can you feel that? It's time to drop some knowledge. You are Locked On Broncos, and I am Chad Jensen, the publisher of MileHighHuddle.com. And with me, as always, is my co-host, Luke Polglaze, a semi-pro football coach, an NFL draft analyst, among many other things. And today we are joined by MileHighHuddle.com senior draft analyst, Eric Trickle. Eric, thanks for joining us, buddy.
Yeah, thanks for having me on again.
We are committed to bringing you a daily podcast that focuses entirely on your Denver Broncos at least 5 days a week. And we're not here to just report the news. We're here to give you a deep dive on your favorite team. And what really helps us out is when you retweet the episodes on Twitter, when you share them on Facebook, and help us grow this thing. And also check out our work over at MileHighHuddle.com. We have killer premium Broncos content, more deep dive stuff for the Broncoholics out there, especially those listening to this show. I know you're sick maniacs. And our subscribers get 10% off on tickets, 10% off on Broncos team merchandise through Fanatics. So go check that out. And follow the show on Twitter, at Locked On Broncos. Just take a second and open up the app on your phone, at Locked On Broncos. Click the follow button. The home of our show, of course, is Audio Boom, but make sure you're subscribing on iTunes and Stitcher, because with the Combine coming, the draft, free agency, you're not going to want to miss a single episode. All right, now, the NFL Scouting Combine, speaking of which, kicks off this week. And as we mentioned last week, Mile High Huddle will be there to cover it. Nick Kendall will be in Indy to bring to you, our listeners and the readers of Mile High Huddle, a direct line to what the Broncos are doing and saying, of course, but also what's going on with the top prospects and all the intrigue that surrounds the Combine. It's a great opportunity to talk about the Combine with two of the best NFL draft analysts out there in Luke and Eric. And every year, prospects see their stock rise and fall based on what they do at the Combine. And today, Eric, we wanted to bring you on and talk about some of the prospects that maybe you have done a surface evaluation on that you feel like could see their draft stock rise or fall at the Combine. And we want to talk about running backs first. And this is a position group that for the Broncos might not necessarily be a huge need. You know, we're unless one of the top two guys falls to him early, we probably won't see him use a draft pick in the first two or three rounds on a running back. But I could see him using at least one of their 10 picks on a running back. And one guy I wanted to start with, Eric, and I know a guy you're curious about, is Kareem Hunt. What's piqued your interest about Toledo's 5'11", 201-pound runner?
He's just so fun to watch. You get to see all this different stuff that he brings to the game, and he's just not a one-type runner. He really has the potential to do everything that's needed. The one big thing that is going to hold him back a little bit is his blocking. I mean, with running backs nowadays coming out of college, that's often a concern you hear about them. I mean, and it's the same thing with tight ends, but that's a different story. But he can run between the tackles. He can run outside. He can be a third down pass catching back. He can do all these things that you want him to do. And his vision is just extraordinary. And I think that's what makes him so fun to watch.
Luke, what do you think this guy, speaking about Kareem Hunt, what do you think he needs to do at the Combine to prove to NFL GMs and scouts around the league?
Well, he came out and had a really good week at the Senior Bowl and a great game itself, rushed for, I think, a lot more yardage than anybody expected, really, in that kind of game. He came out, he had a great week of play, but obviously he's got to back it up on the Combine and show that he can be an NFL caliber athlete. So many guys are great football players, but to really sell yourself as a pick, you have to be an athlete too. Quite honestly, I think he's going to perform really well in the drills. Kind of surprised some people. My favorite fact about this kid, he had just one fumble in his career at Toledo. Just one fumble. It was his freshman year and he recovered it. So he is a very clean prospect when it comes to turnovers, and that's going to endear him to a lot of coaches in the NFL.
And speaking about the combine, I think what's going to boost his draft stock the most isn't going to be the stuff that we see. It's going to be in the interviews. I've heard a lot of good stuff about how he's a smart, smart kid, knows football inside and out, and he takes to coaching so well. And I think he's just going to impress in the interview room so much that he's – a lot of people have him as a third rounder. I could see him being like the second or – not second, sorry, the third or fourth running back taken off the board.
Well, it'll certainly be interesting to see how he performs and what kind of buzz comes out of the combine with his interviews. You know, one person we can't omit from this conversation, one prospect, is Stanford's Christian McCaffrey. And I thought it was funny, guys. Will Keyes had a line he published in a piece on Sunday at Mile High Huddle about, you know, the Broncos running back situation and where that projects with the new coaching staff. And he said, quote, "The city of Denver would collectively lose bowel control if Christian McCaffrey was available in the second round," close quote. And it cracked me up just because of how much hype and scrutiny there is on this kid in and around Broncos country. Now, Eric, we know the Broncos fans are going to be paying special attention to this kid at the combine. What will you be watching for?
What I'll be watching for is something that might make me second guess my initial thoughts on him. I've made no bones about it. I don't think he's a first-round pick. I did the five players to avoid for Mile High Huddle not too long ago, and he was one of them. I don't see him as a first-round pick, and I'm just keeping an eye out on him just to see if he's going to make me go back and reevaluate him.
I think what's key is people are expecting him to go out and run a really fast 40. I don't think he's that quick of a 40 runner. I think he's going to time well, but not as well as people are saying. To me, he's a much better athlete with his feet laterally and moving, you know, east-west as opposed to north-south. I've heard top 10 talk on him, which is quite frankly ridiculous, especially considering the quality of running backs in this draft. There's no way he's going to go top 10. You know, he's a good athlete. He's a guy you can do a lot of things with on your football team, but going to take him top 10, which implies that Fournette and Dalvin Cook are off the board because there's no way I'm going to take him over either one of those two.
And to me, it also, hearing that top 10 talk, it makes me think that they're overvaluing his gadgetness.
That's a good word.
I don't see him so much as a pure running back. He's that gadget player that can run the ball. He can line up out as receiver. He's a return man. He can do all these different things for him. And yeah, offenses often need those kinds of players, but they're not super easy to find. If you really look through the NFL, I mean, Darren Sproles, Tyreek Hill, they're the two biggest names right now for gadget players. And that's kind of how he is to me. And if I'm looking in the first round, looking at a running back, I want somebody who can be the bell cow back, handle 30 carries a game if need be, as well as probably another five touches as a receiver. And you also, with him being a gadget player, and you're putting him out on returns, you're increasing his chances of injury. And I don't know, I just can't use a first-round pick on that, personally.
It was funny. I saw, just real quick, Luke, I want to get your thoughts on this. I saw, I don't know if you guys caught this, from Bucky Brooks, former NFL scout, does a lot of content for NFL Network, NFL.com. But he said the exact opposite of that. He basically said that, "I know that this kid, McCaffrey, is perceived as a gadget player, but I see him as a between-the-tackles, three-down running back."
I think he could be that.
He can be it's hard. He can be that guy, but I don't think you want him as the bell cow doing it. He's a guy who you want to sub in or have part of a running back by committee, and he can run between the tackles. He can run outside. He can do all of that. But I don't think he can just handle the 30 carries at the NFL level, especially when watching him play at Stanford. You see him get a lot of help from the other talent that Stanford had. And if they faltered, he faltered. And so it's just, I don't know, he's hard to evaluate because of how much he got helped out at Stanford and how much he did himself.
Right. If you're going to evaluate him and project him as a gadget player, you know, that's a far easier projection for a guy like Curtis Samuel, who was used as a gadget player for in a lot of ways at Ohio State. You know, he was used to run between the tackles, but he also saw a lot of time out at receiver, even at X receiver, really split out wide. Now, that's a much harder projection to make with McCaffrey, who you're just going to project based off athleticism and really his kind of electric athletic ability. Can he run the ball between the tackle? Sure. Am I going to want him to do that, you know, 20 plus times a game on my team?
Yeah.
Probably not. You know, that's a projection you can make. I personally think he's a great running back when it comes to patience, to setting up blocks, to really kind of waiting and setting up the flow of the linebackers in the hole. I think he's really great at doing that and just kind of influencing the defense before finding that cutback lane. So I do think he's well suited for a zone scheme in that sense, which obviously Denver's kind of moving away from at this moment. I don't see him as being a guy who's going to, you know, chop his feet. He needs to, you know, be patient, find the cutback lane, hit the hole, one cut and gone kind of runner. I think you can project him as a slot receiver too if you want. But really, to me, the guy who in this draft, if you're going to take anybody in the first round as a gadget player, it's Curtis Samuel, because he's won consistently as a wide receiver. He's won consistently as a running back. And he's a better athlete, quite frankly, I think, than McCaffrey.
I agree completely. I actually have Curtis Samuel ranked higher in my rankings than McCaffrey does. I love Samuel. And you mentioned McCaffrey's patience, and I agree there as well. That's one thing that consistently stood out was his patience. And I think a lot of people are – I mean, his vision is good, don't get me wrong, but I think a lot of people are seeing his patience and marking it off as vision. But he's just so patient, and if you have the right scheme for him, I think he can be good, but I still don't think you want him as that 20-plus carry back. I just don't see that with him.
Well, one last running back that we want to talk about here is Alvin Kamara, Tennessee's 5'10", 195-pound back. Now, Kamara wasn't the most prolific player if you look at his stats in college. But, Eric, what are some of the questions you might have on him and why you want to pay special attention at the combine?
The biggest thing I'm looking forward to hearing out from him is all medical-related. He missed time with a sprained left knee, and then he had another injury earlier on in his college career, and I can't remember what it was. Those are both big red flags for teams, and I'm waiting to hear some buzz about that. But he's another one. He's fun to watch. He's a smart guy. He's a rah-rah leader, and I like seeing that out of a running back, a guy who's going to sit there and an offensive lineman misses a block. He's going to grab that offensive lineman's face mask, pull him down, and get in his face about it and tell him to do better. And he's a guy who watching him, and he pumps me up. And we were just talking about McCaffrey, and Kamara is another one of those guys who I think you can use Kamara more as a three-down back, the bell cow type. But he's another one who has, from people I've talked to, has been kind of marked off as a gadget player, which to me I don't get as much as with McCaffrey.
Yeah, I don't think Kamara is any kind of guy that you really look to involve in your offense directly. You know, he didn't really seize the starting running back job at Tennessee ever, which is kind of surprising because he was behind a guy in Jalen Hurd who is, quite frankly, not going to be an NFL running back. I mean, the guy's going to be, you know, he made a decision to leave Tennessee early, and now he's going to come into the draft as, I don't know, an H-back, a tight end. The guy's 6'4", 240. He's not really built to run the ball unless it's, you know, a wing T. He's the fullback running the dive.
Well, sorry to interrupt real quick, but didn't he, part of the reason why he leave Tennessee is because he wanted to move to tight end and they wouldn't let him?
Yeah. He also, I think, wanted to play some wide receiver, which would have been interesting.
Yes.
But, you know, that's definitely part of it. And for a guy like Kamara, from what I've seen of him, he does have that electric ability. But, you know, to me, it's kind of weird because he's not anybody who just jumps out at you time and again as, let me give this guy some touches. I want to involve this guy in my offense. It's more like, you know what, we're going to check it down to him. We're going to see what he can do. It's kind of more of a, all right, what can this prove to me, as opposed to, yes, I want this on the field. And when you're a coordinator, when you're a play caller, that definitely does impact the personnel that you have on the field. So I think Kamara is going to be a really great change of pace back in the next, you know, in the next couple of years in the NFL. I don't really see him as a bell cow kind of guy that you build an offense around.
See, I think he can be, but It is hard to say that because, as you mentioned, he didn't really seize that starting role at Tennessee and everything, and the whole issue with Hurd and all that stuff. But he's shown a lot that gives me confidence that he can be. But there are also a lot of issues that also make me hesitant to give it to him right away or not make him work for it. His vision's not that great. Sometimes he's a little hurried. He's really kind of opposite of McCaffrey when it comes to vision and patience and elusiveness. And McCaffrey runs on with instinct a lot, and that vision and patience and all this other stuff. And you don't see that with Kamara, which, I don't know, it's another tough eval because I really do think that he has that bell cow potential. And it's just, when you watch him, I just want to say, show me more consistently.
Well, and maybe the combine, you know, it is, after all, the underwear Olympics, but maybe it will offer him an opportunity to answer some of those questions, because I would assume many scouts and GMs around the league have many of the same questions. Now, let's move over to some of the big boys on the offensive line. As we know, I mean, this is a huge area of weakness for Denver, especially after deciding not to pick up Russell Okung's option, letting him go. So we expect Denver to fill many of those major needs on the O-line via free agency, but perhaps they're going to be active in the draft as well. And one guy, Eric, that we've talked a lot about on this show is Utah tackle Garrett Bowles. And I know for you, Eric, you're not 100% sold on him being a first rounder. He was one of those guys, one of those five guys that you published on Mile High Huddle that the Broncos should stay away from in round one. But tell us what you're looking for from Bowles in Indianapolis.
I just want to see the his athleticism. He looks really athletic on the chart, and I'm hoping he tears up the athletic portion of it, and I hope he puts up a lot of bench reps. That's my hope. And if he does those things, I might raise him up just a little bit from that early mid-second round to a late first, early second. I just want to see that stuff because there's a couple games watching over him where – you wanted to see more strength from him or more athleticism or better footwork and all these things that you can see at the combine. It's all stuff that he has had time to work on. Now it's time for him to show up at the combine and show he's worked on it.
And I think the key thing with him as a prospect is a lot of these guys, you come into Indianapolis saying, yeah, I'm really excited to see what he runs or what he benches. For me, some of the most important stuff is the drills. And a guy like Bowles, I said it all wrong last episode. I realized after.
Yeah, we talked about this off the air. Go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks, Chad. Bowles, for me, he's a guy who he's really slow and stiff laterally. And I think when it comes down to the individual drills where they, you know, they're just going to be waving them back and forth and up and down, he's going to look really slow going through some of those drills. And that is going to be a major factor for me is how he performs on some of those, just because he's not going to look pretty to me.
I would assume too, with some of his, you know, his personal history of having a rough upbringing and then only playing 1 year in Division I football, correct me if I'm wrong, at Utah, I would assume his interviews as well are going to play a big role in how teams view him around the league.
Yeah, they're not only that, but his age, he's going to be 25 years old. They're going to want to talk to him about him being an older than normal guy. And I mean, yes, offensive linemen normally have the longest shelf life in the NFL, but they're going to want to talk to him about that. They're going to want to talk to him about his upbringing. So yeah, he is going to have to answer those questions in the interview room. And Luke, you're talking about the drills. The one I'm really excited to watch him in is the kick slide one. In my notes, I have multiple negatives with his kick slide. And I heard a rumor that he was working with a former offensive line coach, I can't remember his name now, to get the footwork improved and his base and all that stuff and help with the kick slide and all that. So that's, if it's true, it makes me even more excited to watch that drill in particular.
Well, let's move on and talk about Wisconsin tackle Ryan Ramczyk. Now, this is a guy who I've heard described as a technician. But he does come with some concerns. And for you, Eric, talk about some of those concerns and really what you're going to be watching for at the combine from Ramczyk.
First and foremost, it's medical. Teams are excited to get him in Indianapolis and look at the medical aspect of stuff. get an update on where he's at. And he just had hip surgery. And then there's been a concern with his shoulder. They want to get that stuff checked out. They want to get those answered. That is going to have a huge impact on where he sits on a lot of teams' draft boards. They also want to see the improvement in his upper body. There was some concerns about his strength. He often uses athleticism to win when at times where he should have used power. And they just want to see an improved upper body strength. So they're going to keep an eye on what he does with the in the bench press as well.
I think it's going to be very interesting to see what kind of medical checks he gets at the combine, because obviously the prospects do go through some pretty serious physical examinations, and teams are going to be definitely honing in on that, because Ramczyk, I think he's a really good player. He's just shows that nasty that you want, but they are going to have to double and triple and quadruple check those medicals, just because, I mean, that's important. You can't make the club from the tub.
Yeah, and especially with it being a hip and a shoulder for an offensive lineman, that's just two places that can – I mean, there was 4 or 5 years ago, there was an offensive lineman that was as considered top 15, and he had a hip and a hip injury and a elbow injury or something like that going into the combine, and he ended up being taken in the fourth round. I had his name before when I started talking, and now I can't remember who it was.
That's all good. Maybe it'll come back to you, because
I actually know exactly who that was. I believe you're thinking of TJ Clemmings.
Yes.
Oh, man, the Minnesota right tackle.
Yeah.
He was, I mean, a lot of analysts whiffed on him, though. It's just not being that good a player.
Hey, I was right there all along. I wasn't a fan of his.
Well, hey, one guy who might be the most polarizing tackle, at least, or, I mean, I guess you could categorize him as being hyped as well, is Alabama's Cam Robinson. And, you know, people watch his tape, for example, against Texas A&M, and how he handled the guy who is projected to be, by many analysts, the number one overall pick in Myles Garrett. And it really raised his stock in the eyes of many. But is he for real, Eric? And what can the combine tell us about Cam Robinson, who I know you feel like might be a little bit riding high on the hype train right now?
He's probably top two most overhyped players in this draft. He's a four-year starter. If you just watch his tape not knowing that, you think he's just starting a first-year or second-year starter. He's just so far behind of where you would expect a four-year starter to be. Yeah, he's put up some good games. Myles Garrett, for example, was one of them. Then he goes up against a lesser talent and struggles. It's like part of it is makes me think that he's going to show up in the bigger matchups and then take it easy in the smaller matchups.
Right.
There's a lot of rumors going on from coming out of Alabama about him and how he was with teams and coaches. So if NFL teams have confirmed those rumors, or even if they haven't, they may want to address some of them. So he's going to have to show up big in the interview room and in the drills. I'm not expecting a lot out of him athletically, in the athletic drills, but the position drills is one area where I really want to see him. I want to see a lot more refinement than I saw this last year.
Luke, what does that tell you about a guy who gets his dander up for the big moments and going up against the big matchup guys, but then on the matchups you expect him to handle with authority, those are the games in which he, you know, goes sideways?
Well, here's the thing about the NFL draft process is it's polarizing. Different people can look at different prospects and have the same opinion, or look at the same guy and have completely different opinions. I'm actually going to go out on the record and say that I actually disagree with you on this one, Eric. I think, first of all, I've heard from people, you know, in the know, that Cam Robinson is a pretty good on the field leader in the locker room as well. I mean, he was voted a permanent team captain this year at Bama. So his leadership is definitely noted, especially on that offensive line unit, which is, you know, year in and year out, one of the best position units in football. I mean, he's got elite just physical talents to me. I really am always impressed by how he's able to cut off the backside and take away the backside edge. I think, you know, the thing with him is obviously he looks the part, he's got low body fat, all that. But what is really going to come down to is last year, he was arrested on, you know, gun and weed charges. obviously you don't know how that's going to play out in the draft process. We saw, you know, off the field concerns drop a top talent a couple of years ago at tackle and Lael Collins. Obviously that was a whole other situation, pretty much unprecedented. But again, lest we forget, that happened just last year with Laramie Tunsil too.
Yeah.
So I think Robinson is going to be a very polarizing guy throughout the process. But I think the combine is going to show us a lot about, is he just field athletic or can this guy do it at the combine as well?
Yeah. But the rumors out of Alabama, it wasn't all leadership. That's not something that I was trying to question there. He's very much a in charge guy. It's all about, they had, from the rumors I've heard, have been they struggled to get him to learn the playbook or the game plan week in, week out. And they had to have one of the coaches sit down with him regularly, almost every day leading up to the game, to get him aware of it. Right. And it's a football IQ question. And then as you would disagree with me, there's many people who disagree with me on Robinson. It also comes down to value. He played left tackle at Alabama. I have those refinement questions. And overall, he just reminds me so much of a former Miami offensive lineman who's stuck playing left tackle in the NFL and is kind of doing really, really bad. And Eric Flowers for the Giants. And that's what he reminds me. I think he is at best a career above average career right tackle, but I think he's going to be best suited at guard. And that's, I don't know, that's just not a top 32 pick for me.
Well, hey, before we get out of here, because we're running low on time for today's episode, Eric, I wanted to get in some tight end questions, because the Broncos, you know, they could be looking to upgrade the position in the draft this year, and I know there are some choice guys. Who are some of the guys you're going to be playing or paying special attention to at Lucas Oil Stadium this time around?
This is probably the group that I'm looking forward to watching the most. You have the super small school Ashland tight end, Adam Shaheen. He's 6'6", 277 pounds, and there's a lot of people in the NFL, scouts and stuff, who think he's going to run about 4.46 to 5.52, I think was the text I got, is they have him running in that range, which is just mind-blowing for someone his size. Eric Sauber, he's another smaller school guy from Drake. Michael Roberts from Toledo, he had a really good week at the leading up to the Senior Bowl or the Shrine Game, and caught a lot of attention there. Jeremy Sprinkle, he's going to have to answer questions in the interview room. And then Jake Butt, he's another one. I think he would be a top three tight end, but he had that ACL injury, and so he's going to have to show up in the medical checks.
How about you, Luke? Who are you looking forward to on the tight end group here at Lucas Oil Stadium?
Yeah, you mentioned him, and I think everybody's going to be paying attention to Adam Shaheen. I mean, let me just say those measurements again for if you didn't catch it the first time. 6'6", 277. He's a tight end.
He's like a brick you-know-what house.
Yeah. That's like a high school left tackle, man. Like, that's crazy measurements, especially for a tight end. He's a D2 guy, and everybody is calling up every source they have right now. Hey, I need Ashland tape, which is probably the first time anybody's ever said that. So if he comes out and he tests really impressively, I've heard, you know, scouts have been saying publicly, I think it was Daniel Jeremiah a couple weeks ago was saying if he tests as well first as round. I think he might be first round.
Yeah.
Which it seems like a bit of a stretch, but again, none of us have seen this kid. So I think everybody's just going to be, when they say that name, when Adam Shaheen steps up, everybody's just going to slowly swivel their head. It's going
to
be great.
Now come the binoculars and the telescopes.
Well, keep your eyes on it, people.
There's one more tight end I forgot to mention. It's just the interview thing. Johnny Smith out of Florida International. He missed some games this last season due to domestic violence incident where his girlfriend poured hot water on him.
Yikes.
And so that's going to be an interesting case to watch. I wish I could be in the fly on the wall for interviews with him as they figure out that situation.
Well, hey, tomorrow we're going to have Eric back to talk about defensive prospects. To watch at the Combine. But for today, that's all she wrote. Big thanks to Eric for joining the show. Find him on Twitter, at Eric Trickle. Be sure to follow the show, at Locked On Broncos. And you can find Luke in the Twitterverse, at Luke Polglaze, myself, at Chad N. Jensen. We love hearing from you, so hit us up and check out the other killer podcasts on the network, Locked On NFL Draft in particular. Very great show. And don't forget to subscribe. For Luke, for Eric, I'm Chad, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.